Sheer Ladies Wednesday, Derech Hashem. It's Wednesday, November 1st, Yud Beis Mar Cheshvan. Sheer number 13. The fifth Sheer after Sukkos, Sheer number 13. Starting Perek Dalet, Chalef. So, Derech Hashem, even though I won't do it quickly, I want quickly a few Perek Gimel. What did we learn in Perek Gimel? We're starting Perek Dalet now of Chelek Rishon, the first section of the Sefer. What did we learn in Perek Gimel? So in the first Perek, we learned about, to whatever degree we're able to understand and fathom, his Echodness. In the second Perek, the Ramchal introduced the idea that Hashem is Tov and wants to be Meitiv. And the way Tiv was to have a being. We're not up to humans yet, really, but just the idea of a creation which will bond, which will be separate from Hashem, which is already Kabbalistically, practically speaking, and Kabbalistically, certainly, it's very difficult here. That there's something except for Hashem, or it looks like it's besides Hashem, right? Anything that exists is really almost a walking contradiction to Hashem's echodness, except to fit that shtender and say that's Hashem, look at this chair and say that's Hashem. It's the Rotzon Hashem. Certainly our experience, we experience things outside of Hashem. That's our experience. We have to bring it, it would be our minds and bodies and souls like into Hashem mode, understanding that there is nothing in the world but Hashem. Very difficult to do. We have some of the Cheshbonos HaNefesh and Shaar Cheshbonos, some of them evolve around this issue, like coming into sync with just being a manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem. But Hashem, Al Kaponim, wanted to be Meitiv, and Meitiv by creating something other than Him that would then reattach itself to Him and experience immense pleasure, immense tov, and the source of Sharam, he talks about it being pleasurable. Here he talks about it being the ultimate Tov. So he's going to create something that's going to then reattach itself to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the Ziv HaShechina. But he's going to do it in the perfect way, because Hashem is perfect, and the perfect way is to earn it, which is another theological Chiddush, a huge one, that there's something that it seems like a control, because you can go ill of Hashem. You know, on a simple, almost childish Hashem's will, that we be against His will. So it boils down to being Hashem's will. But upon Him, this way we have Bechira, and this way we are like Hashem, in that we're not automatically good. We create our goodness. It's an internal goodness. It's not a freebie. It's not a present that someone gave me. It's internal. It's me. It's who I am. So that's why it's like Hashem. In Perek Gimel, he starts talking about mankind or humankind, depending on your political leanings. So we're going to attach ourselves. It's us looking just down to earth more, to attach ourselves to Hashem through having free will. We're going to have the free will will be based on a tug of war between the body and the soul. The person's murkav. The person is made up of animalistic tendencies, which are in the Ramchal's world, the guf is bad, the guf is yetzahara, the guf is chomer. It's inherently so, but we have the power to transform it into good. Nothing is ultimately bad. We have a power to transform it into good, but left to its own devices, it would be bad, it would be chomer, it would be an animal. It would be like an animal, meaning its only interest is its own desires and what it wants. And it has no higher purpose, it has no spiritual purpose. And we have a guf and a neshama, and the neshama wants ruchnius, the neshama is a chelik aloka. And so you have this tug of war. Now, the physical manifestation of the neshama is the seichel. We're going to use the words interchangeably, but really the seichel is no guarantee of goodness. People use their seichel for very evil purposes. People use their seichel for doing very bad things, for following their taivas. Not always does the seichel rational and is able to make the cheshman. Let's say even a simple cheshman, like it says in Pirkei Avos, having mechashev schar mitzvah keneged hafseido, or hafsed aveira keneged, may make a cheshbon, this is forever and ever and ever and ever, and this is a momentary pleasure. But, the body wants what it wants and is able to many times bend the seichel to its will. The seichel really in itself is like a physical thing. Brain power. But it really is the physical presence of the neshama. That's the brains, and so it is. When we say there's a tug of war between the seichel and the guf, that's how we experience it. Means the seichel that's acting as the shliach of the neshama, not the seichel that could really be ruined and act as a shliach of the guf. Really, as we know, seichel you can figure out very nefarious schemes and figure out how to do bad things. Okay, so you have this tug of war. And Hashem is unbelievably kind. He said there's going to be a limited period of time to see if you win the tug of war, to see if the neshama wins the tug of war. And then the schar, the reward, which will really not be a reward like a prize for being a good boy or a good girl, but it will be the triumph of the neshama over the guf and the transformation of the guf to spirituality. You will then, based on whatever how much you polished, like polishing a dirty window for Pesach, based on how much you polished the window, the sun will shine through it. It will give light. It will be the sun's light. That's like Hashem. But it will shine and it will... you'll bond with Hashem forever and ever and ever and ever. And it was pretty even. It was even. It was an even tug of war. And that's pretty, not that hard to do, but that's part of Hashem's chesed. He made an even fight. And okay. But then everything went south. Everything went south when Adam and Chava sinned. And now it's not an even tug of war anymore. As we all experience, if we think of who we are, we think of physical, we don't think of spiritual, right? And we have, right? Once in a while, we feel the neshama, maybe, once in a while, like I said, ne'ila, maybe, El Nidre, maybe. But we're goof people, we eat, we sleep, we do a lot of things that we have to feed the goof. And the guf is the dominant gene, the dominant force in a person is the guf. And that's after the chet of Adam HaRishon, and where the guf became much more physical and much more powerful and much more dominant. So much so that, first of all, it's not an even tug of war anymore. And second of all, no longer will the neshama, even if it triumphs, be able to transform the guf into something spiritual, which is the ultimate goal according to the Ramchal, and to bask in the Ziv HaShechina, because the guf is just too goofy. So that's the gezeira of death. Again, the Ramchal's explanation keeps everything on a high level. It's not Adam did a sin, so he's going to be punished. He's going to have to die. He affected the dynamic of the world, the dynamic of creation. And now the body needs to be separated from the neshama, or I should say the neshama needs to be separated from the body, and the body has to decompose, and it has to be created anew. And that's called Tchias HaMeisim. It's created anew, and the neshama then re-enters the body and has the power that it always had, that it originally had, I should say. Because right now, just as we don't really experience our spiritual side, we barely experience our spiritual side. And we do, you know, we have a good Shmona Esrei, and we do, or we do a chesed, and a selfless chesed. If we do it in the way the Chavis HaLavas keeps telling us to do, we do it anonymously, and we're careful not to become Balei Gaiva, so we just feel connected to Hashem, we feel we emulated Hashem, we did a chesed, and we gained nothing out of it, and we feel spiritual. There are times like that, but it's the exception rather than the rule, I will say, if the Tchias HaMeisim, then the neshama becomes dominant, and to whatever degree we polish the neshama, that's how much light it's going to have from Hashem, and it energizes and spiritualizes the guf, just like would have happened right away in this world. If Adam Rishon would not have been Chote, then the spiritualization of the guf would have happened immediately. You know, you do a mitzvah, something happens to you. We have glimmers of that sometimes. You could see a tzaddik looks different, walks differently. You see, like, the guf is just not as goofy as it is by regular people. You see, it's Deuben, it's Yiddish, it's a higher level type of living, the way he eats, the way he walks, the way he talks. So, and sometimes we're affected by that too. You know, sometimes, once in a while, maybe through Sukkot, maybe on Yom Kippur, where we fast so we don't feel the guf so heavily. Or, fasting is really spiritually a very healthy thing to do, as long as it's physically okay, because we're always warned, constantly warned to take care of the guf, because that's the playing field in this world. And if we don't get enough sleep, if we don't eat the right foods, and we don't take care of ourselves, whether it's maybe exercise or whatever we need for the guf, we're going to pay the price in ruchnius. Right? So that we have to make sure of that. So that's going to be, so that's the setup. And then he talked about Olam Hamba or Olam HaNeshamos after death, where the neshama is in a waiting station, waiting for the Tchias HaMeisim. And at first, it's a very beautiful place, and the neshama, some degree, is Nenem Yizif Hashchina Ke'ilu, a little like it's going to do after Tchias HaMeisim. But also it gets recharged. We talked about this because the neshama has also a problem, so to speak, that it's when you don't fulfill your tachlis for the purpose for which you were created, so that becomes a problem. So the neshama really flowered forth because it was stymied because of the situation. So it gets recharged. It has potential. So it recharges the battery, waiting for Tchias HaMeisim. That's what's happening in the Olam HaNeshamos. There's a lot of other things happening in Olam HaNeshamos, but we can't learn everything at one time. This is basically Perek Gimel. Now we're going to start Perek Daled, which is not going to be fundamentally different. But as he explained in his Hakdama, in his, the way he approaches things in a logical analysis, if you would study this like from a better teacher or yourselves, or you would see that he always lays down the groundwork with like a general principle, and then each perek develops everything more and more. It's like the fruit are coming out of the tree and they're budding and they're growing, and all of a sudden, and just like I could look at a chair and then I could describe what it's made out of, and then I could describe what role every part that's made out of play. And I go down to the sub-atomic, the molecular structure of the chair, and everything is, you know, it's beautiful, and it all fits, and everything's wonderful. So paragraph V is an elaboration on everything. And now we just learned Paragimel, and you say, well, what's left to explain? But Paragimel was really an overview, it turns out. When you learn Paragdalet, now we're going to learn already the specificities of life. And that's why Paragdalet is called B'matzovo Shel Adam. It's quite a mouthful, the name of the Parag. B'matzovo Shel Adam Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'drochem Shel Afonav, the situation of a person in this world, the world of the tug of war, which is not even anymore. Badrachim Shalafanov B'derech Prat. Now we're going to get specific. And Ramachal doesn't even talk in this section so much about Torah and about mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs are a way for us to win the tug of war. We have to thank Hashem for giving us mitzvahs, or else we wouldn't know what to do. We want to be spiritual, so we have the mitzvahs to guide us and to teach us, or else we would be somewhere in the Himalayas on some mountaintop there with some guru, and we would be reciting a mantra and feeling very spiritual. But that's nothing. It's a joke. There's no spirituality to it there. Why not, you'll say? Which is a legitimate question. Because the person, as we know, and experience has shown, and history has shown, and reality has shown, the person is not transformed. It's almost as if we want to experience in this world the transformation, maybe not of the guf, where the guf becomes less physical and more spiritual, even though that happens too. As I say, we feel that sometimes, but the guf should be, the guf has to be part of being spiritual, and the mitzvahs are action. The overwhelming majority of mitzvahs is action packed. You have to do something with your guf, and this makes the guf the kli. Just like the whole bria is a kli for avodas Hashem, the guf becomes a kli. And as in the tug of war, it's like judo. I think we're not just fighting the guf, but we're using the guf for the strengths of the neshama. We're using the guf to serve Hashem. We're using the guf to do spiritual things, to do the will of Hashem. So it's really so again, we're not going into the psychology of who's fighting here, right? As I said, the seichel is a shliach of the neshama, but the seichel could be a shliach of the guf. The guf wants to do what's pleasurable in this world and to follow its desires, its taivus. The seichel wants to do the Ratzon Hashem, but it's with the guf that it's going to do it. I'm in the middle of a shiur now. I can't talk to you. I'm sorry. So this is all. Perek Dalet is a rather long perek, and it's very detailed. It's everything we learned till now, but it's just detailed. Paragraph Aleph. Now the principle is that you're in this world to grow and to accomplish and to become spiritual and to do the Ratzon Hashem and thus polish the neshama which has been hurled into the mud of Olam Hazeh. After the Chet of Adam Arishon, the world is muddy, it's dark, it's a dark place. But we polish off the neshama through our doing mitzvahs, and that's what we're doing in this world, and that's what the purpose is. But everything, it's not like, okay, I was born, I was created, I'm in this world, and now there's a special delivery letter from Hashem telling me what to do. It's not like that. I was put into this world to do something. I'm only here to do something. I'm not here and someone's telling me to do something. I'm only here to do something. That's a very important point. And therefore, everything Hashem created in my life, whether it's the century I was born in, the parents I was born to, the friends I have, the assuming, as I said, I didn't make a bechira to make certain friends, but the situation I'm in, the, you know, the city I live in, the hulu, everything, my body, if I'm capable of doing this, my nature, my personality, everything is perfectly graded by Hashem to fulfill this neshama's task in this world. Well, my job might be to work on patience. My job might be to overcome my taivas. My job might be to not be lazy. My job—we don't know. We don't know. So there's a Torah out there, but everything is like, oh, it's so frustrating. I'm living next to this really obnoxious neighbor. Meanwhile, the neighbor thinks the same thing, but we'll talk about that some other time. And yeah, Hashem put you there. That's how you're going to grow. You're going to grow by dealing with the neighbor the right way. What's the right way? You're going to, if you don't know the right way, you're going to ask a Rav, what's the right way? But nothing's happenstance. No traffic jam has happenstance. No flat tire has happenstance. No frustration. No difficulty or even tragedy. Everything is perfectly. It's like I told you, like a boss, and he gives you the perfect tools with which to do your job. So he gives you everything in the office is state of the art to enable you to do the job in the best possible way. Now here the job is to make certain choices and to transform yourself or your goof into a kli for Avodas Hashem. Yeah.
Some people are born into an abusive, dysfunctional, totally religious family with no contact, no spirituality. How can that be perfect?
It's perfect for that neshama. I refer to you the Michtam Eliyahu that has a very famous essay called Nekudas HaBechira, and he explains there that every person has the playing field of their own Bechira, and some people might be born into a robber's den, and the only life they know is robbing and stealing and cheating and etc., and the Nekudah of his Bechira might be not to kill. As the Mr. Malio says, every neshama has its playing field, has its battlefield. And let's assume that you know, most frum people or who are presently frum would not dream of eating something treif, would not dream of being mechallel Shabbos, you know, in a blatant way, would not dream, I wouldn't dream of missing a day of wearing tefillin, you know, so that's not my Nekudas HaBechira. And my Nekudas HaBechira are things either more subtle or more, but everybody has them. So is there someone who's, the way you describe, sometimes tragic things happen to people, you know, people, especially to young adults. Things happen to them in their life, and they get emotionally damaged from it, and they have to work a lot to overcome it. And so that's an avoda right there. And you say, well, why did that happen to them? You know, why? So we don't know the answer, of course, without a navi, but the answer, we don't know the specific answer without nevuah. But the general idea is that this is their avoda, to overcome what happened to them. And maybe their larger avoda, and I've told this to people, even though I say I don't know if it's true, but maybe your avoda in this world is to overcome what happened to you and now help others that the same thing happened to. Because no one can help people that these things happen to as much as a person who it happened to and overcame it. Because then they understand each other well and they know what they're going through and they know how they feel. So that's it. So we don't know. But everybody has, everybody was sent down to this world to perform a specific task, to accomplish a certain accomplishment. Not everybody makes headlines, but we know already from the Chayyus HaLavus, if there's one thing we learned in all the years of learning Chayyus HaLavus, is that headlines are not the point. Headlines is very much besides the point. It's what you do with your life. So we look at people with headlines and we feel small and insignificant, but it's so wrong. It's wrong. Every Hashem made every neshama, and every neshama has a task to perform that no one else can perform, and without them the world will be a worse place, or the world will be a better place. So we don't know. In your scenario, you say, if I'm a Rosh Hashiva and I have thousands, maybe the Rosh Hashiva with thousands of Talmidim doesn't play much of a role in Hashem's world. He doesn't. And maybe his whole job is not to be a Balgaiva. That's all. But he was born into this and he was given a great head. He didn't do anything to develop his head. Okay, he had to become a masmid. He could have wasted his time and he could have done other things with his head. Whatever. But then someone who's Chavis HaLavus describes someone, right? We look at someone that's not strong and has spiked orange hair and a nose ring and a belly ring. And we don't know. We don't know. Maybe his job is to say Shmodani when he gets up in the morning. And that's it. That's all he's able to do, but he has to do it. He has to say, there's a God in the world and I'm happy I'm alive. Maybe. We don't know. But don't worry, Hashem knows. Hashem has the books. And what we have to do, and that's really the Chavis HaLavus' point, is make sure we're only judgmental about people's actions, not about people. In other words, and this is what people don't understand sometimes, you don't have to look at this fella and say, I don't want to be judgmental about Chil Shabbos. You have to be judgmental about Chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos is a terrible, terrible thing. But you don't have to be judgmental of a Mechalel Shabbos because the person, you don't know where he's coming from, you don't know what his neshama is at. You don't know where he's been, you don't know what he was born into, you don't know what nesheinus he had, you don't know anything about him. So you don't know. So you can't be judgmental about him. But that doesn't mean he becomes a paragon of virtue and you have to tell your kids to copy him, whatever he does. You don't want to do that, certainly. So then, you are judgmental. Anyway, every neshama is sent down to the world. The truth is, it's funny, Chal doesn't even go into that yet. That every neshama is different than every. He talks about now as if every neshama has the same task to perform, which is definitely not true, and it's almost absurd to think so. Because Hashem, just do the same thing again. Why would he? Hashem doesn't do anything extraneous. So,
I have a question.
Yeah.
You gave the example of the neighbor who
is obnoxious.
How do we deal with a person who does something that's not right? We are supposed to forgive them, that's what you say at that time before.
Well,
but at the same time, we have to love them. But I don't know how to deal with this issue.
What is your question? You didn't finish the sentence.
We have to do the person did something wrong to us.
So you deal with that. You can demand that they rectify what they did wrong. If that's legitimate. There's halachas. Everything's in Shulchan Aruch. Everything's in Torah. Someone did something wrong to you. So sometimes you can seek redress. Sometimes there's a monetary payment that has to be made if they did something wrong to you, if they were mazik you financially. Sometimes the halacha says you should not be mochel them until they ask mechila, because it just teaches them bad behavior. Sometimes you moichel that they hurt you, you moichel them for hurting you, but you're not moichel what they did for you, and they have to take care of it and rectify it. If you're asking how do you overcome a normal feeling of, I really don't like this person, So, you know, and what is, so there's different ways. There's one way is the Chavis Albalus's way, and the Chinuch's way is, first of all, but you see an Allah to take revenge, and you see an Allah to even bear a grudge. So you see that the Torah and Hashem demands of us that we don't even bear a grudge. So the Chinuch says the way to do that is by realizing that they were just, from your perspective, Hashem sent them to do this to you. Maybe it's a punishment for your own sins. Maybe it's a nisayon to see if you get angry. Maybe it's a nisayon to see if you take nekama. So you have to, don't take it personally. You have to make believe it happened to someone else and deal with it as, you know, it's Hashem. Hashem did it, and that's how you deal with it. Sometimes, though, there's rectification that could be sought. Sometimes you have to demand rectification, or else you're encouraging evildoers. If the question is, from a practical viewpoint, what's the best way to not hate them? So, you know, there are Sfarim written that suggest different ways to realize, to think, say it's Hashem. The Rambam's way is to say that it's not really that important. It's only a little thing in Olam Hazeh. It's just a bump in the road. To realize that all of Klal Yisrael is one neshama. The Chafetz Chaim says, think of it as you fell down and you hurt your hand. So you're not going to get angry at your leg for falling down. You're not going to get angry at your hand. It's all one goof. There are different suggestions. Different things work for different people. Okay? So I can't answer your question specifically, but yes, you have to overcome. You're not allowed to hate them. You're not allowed to bear a grudge even. And sometimes you have to do that and still deal with the situation, which is really, really amazingly hard, because it is legitimate to deal with the situation. It doesn't, the halacha, the Torah, Chashem Mishpat, doesn't demand that you just swallow everything and, you know, turn the other cheek. That's a different religion. That's not our religion. Our religion says you are totally allowed to deal with the situation. But at the same time, it's very hard. This is part of an avoda. You can't bear a grudge. Angry at them, you can't talk lashon hara at them. Except in very, very limited circumstances that the Chafetz Chaim spoke about. Otherwise, this pashtus, you can't talk about them. So, yeah, that's. And when you're doing that, you're becoming a spiritual. You're becoming a spiritual person. You're overcoming your nature. That's growth. The definition of growth can best be defined as overcoming a good nature and going to the higher level of spirituality. So you're growing as a person. You're growing as an Oved Hashem, and that's what you should think of it. It's difficult to walk around like that, but again, the truth is we're here, and we're here to grow. That's the purpose of us being here. We're not here, and then we get a set of instructions from Hashem. Well, once you're here, I have something I want you to do for me. We're put here for that reason. Okay, let's learn inside a little. B'matzovo shel adam b'olam hazeh yibachnu shnei inyanim. Okay, there's two aspects to a person's situation that he finds himself in. I was born into this world. So number one is tchunas atzmo shel ha'adam b'chalokav v'harkavosam. Everything about me, my personality, my nature, my emotional state, my mental state, you know, everything that I am made of. Tchunas atzmo shel ha'odam b'chalokav, all of his moving parts, arkavosam, everything, and it's mental, and it's psychological, and it's physical, it's everything. That's number one. V'hamoko masher humusam bo. So that's me, myself, and I. But then there's where I am, and that includes, like I said, who my parents are, what country I'm living in, what city I'm living in. That's the Hamaka Masher Hu Musumbo, which is of course Olam Hazeh, but more specifically, everything about Olam Hazeh. What what part of history were you born in, and where are you, and who are your parents, etc. B'chol mash in the slav alone. That's what I just described. So first comes the b'chinas adam asmo, paragraph 2. The person's personality and nature and emotional makeup and mental makeup and psychiatric makeup. In a kvar zacharnu, we already explained about a person that he's in strife. A chumur kavechod shenesrakhu boshnei afokim. He's made up of somebody that's having a tug of war inside of him. Vayinu haneshama b'guf. It's not even an even tug of war anymore, right? Because we're after the chet of the marishon. So, but he's made up. You know, what's a person's basic personality? He has a source of spirituality, a source of physicality, of animalistic tendencies, and one of them is going to win. They're in a fight. Because left to its own devices, and if you don't put up a struggle, the goof's going to win. That's for sure. Well, at least after the Marishal's Chayt, for sure the goof's going to win. And as we see, you know, when a child's born, so he's like an animal. He only knows what he wants. Doesn't have any emotional or mental or spiritual maturity, or even a mental or emotional or spiritual side to him or her. You know, he starts off just nursing and sleeping and crying if something hurts him, and he wants, and he just goes on for any number of years till he gets some sort of call it spiritual or emotional maturity. I said over in Shul a story from my grandson, right? So he was crying. He wanted to go outside. He was crying. And then my daughter told him, you know, wait till I put on my shaitel. And he stopped crying. That's very... How old is he? 18 months. So that's a drop of maturity, a drop where he, if it would have taken more than 4 or 5 seconds, I don't know if what would have happened, but he saw that, you know, putting on a shaitel and something clicked, and that means going outside. But he stopped crying. So that's the type that starts, you know, at 2 years old, and until your bar mitzvah really, or bas mitzvah, you don't have a yetzer tov, meaning you really don't have the means to be anything more than a glorified, intelligent animal. And I want what I want. And So we train, that's chinuch. In chinuch we train the child to act spiritually. That's the training of chinuch. Because if he had a start at 13, it would be... It's hard enough as it is, thanks to the Mauritian. So imagine if we all had a start at 13 or 15 or 18, when we would start like saying there's more to life than sushi. So hine zacharnu echumurkav echod shenas rakhu shenas rabu voshnei afachim, two opposites, vayinu haneshama v'aguf. V'ulam hine anachnu roim beinenu, but we see, unfortunately, shachumrius rishoni bo, that the main thing is the guf. Our lives revolve around our guf needs, whether it's food, drink, being married, shelter. That's what it revolves around, primarily. The toldos of the guf, there's certain things you have to do. You have to eat. You have to drink. You have to sleep. Chazokas bo ma'ot. Right after you're born, kemat kulo chamri. It's almost. Ve'ena seichel poyel boyel ma'at. The neshama is like in anesthesia. It's like they put it out for a while. Chvi has gadlo, and as he gets older, yelech haseichel holich v'chosek. This is also not so. For some reason, this is the best way to do it. Hashem is doing it this way. It must be the best way to do it. Or else maybe the only way to grow is to grow little by little. Now, if it all came down on me with a rush, I would wake up one morning and I would realize, like all of my obligations to Hashem, I would get a short circuit. I would just blow a fuse. So we start off with small little things and we take a baby step here. That's how we are physically, and that's how we are spiritually also, emotionally also, psychologically also. You have to take baby steps. And as you get older and older, that's how Hashem made a person. Maybe for the reason I said, it would be because it's so overwhelmingly large, our real obligation, that we would just make us crazy if it would all but come down at once the day after the bar mitzvah, like boom, crash. Even though he's talking about really even before the bar mitzvah. Everybody's different. That's another thing, like he doesn't really stress that much, but everybody is different. Everybody has a different rate of growth. Every person has a different way to grow. But certainly that we know that the chumrius doesn't, his physicality doesn't stop ruling the show. The good's all powerful. The good's operating already at full speed. The good's at home, Chazal said. The goof runs up the score before the neshama even gets a chance to show up on the field. Yeah.
Before the child is born, he's being taught by the malach. So he's totally spiritual.
Yeah, we're not talking about the firstborn. We're talking about life. Okay. Talking about life in this world.
He's not starting from
point zero. Yes, he is. He starts from point zero. He doesn't remember any Torah he learned in the mother's womb. Why does he learn it? A different discussion. Look, upon him, he starts from point zero. Again, point zero means this neshama's point zero. He might be born with above average intelligence. He might even be born with a propensity for spirituality. He might be born with a propensity for evil. So you see that in the Gemara, you see that in Mephoreshim, you see that in Storim. People might be born with certain propensities, tendencies. But that's the ground zero of every neshama. Every neshama is different. Okay. So every word here, if he grows in chachma, the yilumad ba, and he studies, you have to know what to do. Lo ama oretz chassid, you have to know what to do. You can't just feel spiritual, and that's not Judaism. To feel spiritual and to I want to connect to Hashem, that does not do the trick. You have to know the halacha, and you have to connect to Hashem the way He wants you to connect. And there's plenty of room for individual initiatives, but yigdal b'chachma v'yilumad ba, and he internalizes the chachma. He is chazek b'drachecha, and he acts according to his seichel. He doesn't just have the seichel, right? You have to put it into action. We know that. So if he does that, you know, Yisamates, he will have the strength, lichboshes tivo, to overcome his natural self, his animalistic self. Lo yishalach resen ta'avos of biyado, the rain, R-E-I-N, the rain that he develops to have on his tivus, he doesn't let go, meaning he's always controlling his tivus. This is what a person is capable of doing, is supposed to be doing. The Yisad saying, Lelechaz ma'alichos ha-seichel. And he strengthens himself to always go by the dictates of the seichel. Again, the seichel that acts as a representative of the neshama, not as a representative of the guf. You know, Chachamim Heimel Ahora is a famous phrase in, I think, Yeshayahu or Yirmiyahu. He's using it the right way. Okay, we'll stop here. Yes, but...